In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, laughter, and information, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of ourselves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with tonight's special guest, multimedia artist, hailing from New Zealand, Jonathan Quinton. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. This is an exciting show because this is a topic that we have been wanting to talk about for some time. Sacred geometry. What does it mean? What does it do? What does it do and mean to us? And for those answers, our guest tonight, Jonathan Quinton, will be talking about just that. So I'm looking forward to that interview in just a little bit. You know, it's interesting that a lot of interesting things have happened this week to me. I had some friends call me evil this week. Literally, evil. They've said, you are evil. More than one, actually. And I'll tell you how this came about. I actually got a new phone with a new service and a new company and all that, a new cell phone, that is. So I actually got a new phone number as well. So I took the opportunity, knowing that none of my friends, especially the ones whose numbers are private and who very few people have their numbers, knowing that they would not know who it was texting them, I took the opportunity to boldly text them incriminating type texts. I'm laughing. Well, I'd like to think that my friends were laughing too, actually. I was very careful as to whom I texted what. And as a matter of fact, the ones who had husbands or wives at home that might read their text by mistake, I made sure not to make it too incriminating and more general. But some of my friends immediately wrote back, who is this? Some of them texted back, this is very funny, who are you, that kind of thing. And then I continued the joke longer, the ones that I knew could take it, and the ones that I knew that they'd had enough, I immediately ended and said, this was Filippo, and they immediately texted me back, you are evil. I had so much fun with that. How often does one get to do that? And the truth of the matter is that each of the ones, after they got through their telling me how evil I was, told me how funny it was, and only you could do that, Filippo, and all of that. And you know, it raised some interesting questions. First of all, what is evil? Because if I was evil at that point, and evil actually caused humor and much joy, especially to me, no, but of course to them, then would evil be if I didn't let them know it was me? And then by letting them know it was me, then maybe that's not evil. You know, it raised that question about evil. The other question that it raised for me is what we could do and not do while being higher conscious, more spiritual beings, as we really try to be conscientious and compassionate towards each other. Where do we draw the line? Because a lot of humor actually is said at the expense of people. And there's a fine line there. This weekend, actually, I was asked to sing for this event. And the master of ceremonies at the event is a comedian and a TV show host. And we had done a bit before on stage years before where he made fun of a song that I was singing seriously to a beautiful model, which was really funny because I was singing in Italian. He was translating in English. Of course, nothing about what I was singing, just making jokes about how I was supposedly lusting after this beautiful model. She loved it. The audience loved it. I got a big kick out of it. It was perfect. So here we were again years later, and three nuns walk into a room. Already that starts like the start of a joke. But literally three nuns walked into the big ballroom where this event was being held. And he said, there's our joke right there. And so he thought we would do something similar where I would sing to the nuns in Italian. And then he would tell his humorous recount of what I was singing. Well, I went up to talk to the nuns just to get a feel for where they might stand on something like that. I never got far enough to tell them what we actually were thinking of doing, because I could tell that immediately they got concerned that we would make fun of them. So when I came back to tell the comedian and MC that we weren't going to use the nuns for this bit, he said, no, Filippo, it's funny. And I said, they'll think we're making fun of them. And that's not funny to me and not to them. And he says, no, I'll be making fun of you. The audience will get it. And I said, right, but they won't. I have a feeling they won't. So in that case, yes, he wasn't going to be making fun of them. He was going to be making fun of me at my expense, but I was enjoying the humor. But there would be an innocent party who wouldn't understand the humor. And that's where I draw the line. And it's interesting because there's a popular YouTube video going around about a father figure. Now, I don't know if it's this little boy's father or if it's his uncle or if it's just an adult male in this boy's life. I tend to think that it's the father because he says, mommy doesn't like the Yankees. So what's happening is that the father, let's just call him that, is telling the little boy, who can't be more than 3 or 4, that he needs to like the Red Sox because this is a Red Sox family. Mommy likes the Red Sox and Johnny likes the Red Sox, his brother, I presume, and you need to like the Red Sox. And the little boy protests, no, I like the Yankees. And he says, Yankees, not even Yankees, which is even more adorable. And the father says, well, you're on your own. You're on your own, pal. He says it twice, and the little boy starts to cry. Now, presumably it's the brother who actually says to the father, don't make him cry, and then puts his arm around him, showing immediate compassion and saying, this isn't funny, not even to me. But he persists, and as the little boy starts to cry, he says, I want you to say, you like the Red Sox. And the little boy says, no, but I like the Yankees. And I actually could cry as I'm sharing this because the man actually goes on to say, I'm sorry, or I forgot his exact words, but you're going to have to find another place to live. And that's where the video ends. Even if the man says, I'm just kidding, and gives him a hug, that moment will have a lifetime effect on that child. Because the child doesn't know the difference between a joke and the truth, especially when it comes from an adult. And that's not funny. And some of the comments and the people liking the video really disturbed me, because it's one thing playing a practical joke on a friend on a text and then having them say you're evil and we have a good laugh about it. And another thing when you're infecting a child or some nuns who think you're making fun of them, especially since maybe their religion might be controversial at this point or people might have issue with it, there are some things that are just not funny. But I also don't want to lose the fact that we can be funny and that we can do things at people's expense. And we connect and know that it can be funny and that we can all enjoy each other and laugh at each other and ourselves and still be conscious and still be spiritual and have a great time. Just not at other people's expense, just not like that. So with that, I know that some of us are really trying to find that balance. I am trying to find it too. That's how I'm looking for it. That's where I'm finding it. And I just wanted to share that with you. So when we come back right after this, we're going to talk to our guest, Jonathan Quinton, about sacred geometry.
Clean water is not enough.
reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We're back, and I am excited because our guest is Jonathan Quinton, who is a multimedia artist from New Zealand. He has spent over 30 years in the investigation and application of sacred geometry. Sacred geometry is the ancient art, science, and philosophy of space and proportion. It addresses the laws of creation and the inner workings of nature. Now, Jonathan not only paints and draws these sacred geometric figures and paintings, but he lectures about them and shares information about them, and obviously is on radio and on tour with Nassim Haramein talking about them as well. So we are really excited to have Jonathan Quinton to the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Filippo. Very nice to be here.
It's great to have you. You know, it's interesting. We always try and have the monologue somewhat relate to the guest, and yet I was trying to find, well, did that really relate to the guest? And it's interesting, during the break, you told me it related, and tell us why.
Because I was a little boy, and my father, it was the political party different. You know, I was 12 years old, and I learned about the different political parties. And I decided that I was going to, you know, vote for Party X. And my father says, you know, well, if that's the way you think, then you can find another place to live.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I'm sure that he didn't mean that in total seriousness, or maybe in the moment he did. But it was something, you know, that stuck with me all my life, you know, even to this day. It's a memory that is implanted in me, but it carried through me. So, you know, it shows you the power of words, and particularly upon vulnerable children, which is why we need to take, you know, extra care of our languaging around children, because it has such an impact, because, you know, they haven't learned to discern in the way. They hadn't grown into that maturity of discernment, and they're so vulnerable and gullible and trusting, you know. So they right. take a lot of what we say to heart, and that was a good example about that. But anyway, on to sacred geometry.
Yes. Well, Jonathan, it's interesting. I've been holding on to that monologue for a while, and certain things happened this week, which I thought, okay, well, what do I really have to say about sacred geometry? Why don't I just pull that and what happened this week and talk about that? And, you know, maybe it won't relate. Well, obviously, it related very much. And it also relates because words have power, as you said, and they resonate an energy, which is interesting because that's so much of what we're talking about here in sacred geometry, is the resonance of energy that your artwork creates.
That's right. And in fact, I like how Pythagoras describes geometry. He called it visual music, made visible, and he demonstrated the correlation between the ratios in geometry and the octaves in music. And, you know, the relationship is, it's all about numbers. It's all about the relationship of numbers. And sacred geometry measures the relationship of number in space and time, while music measures the relationship of numbers in space what I was saying, and music measures it in time. And so there's all these correlations and overlays and complementations between geometry, harmonic, sacred geometry, and music, you know, and referring to music mostly in the classical sense, mostly music that is scientifically structured, or maybe not, you know, intentionally so by the composer at the time, but it turns out that it's harmonic and that it's, you know, mathematically harmonious. And geometry lets us see this. Geometry takes these forces. If we think of, you know, creation as energy, if everything is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And energy can be described as vibration. Vibration can be described as frequency. Frequency can be numbered, can be described and measured through number. Number can be organized into shape. And number relationships make shapes and patterns and form. And this is what geometry is. It's a visualization of the harmonic forces, the self-organizing forces of nature, the laws of creation. And these laws are encapsulated in triangles and squares and pentagons and circles and spirals, and are regulated by relationships of numbers that are called ratios, harmonic ratios. And the fundamental ratios, root 2, root 3, and the golden ratios, these are the principles that we find as the primary guiding forces of creation, the self-organizing forces. And these principles, root 2, root 3, and root 5, are embedded in the primary shapes, triangle, square, and pentagon, which are primary uniform divisions of the circle, so they are the harmonic shapes that are created when the circle reflects upon itself. And these shapes contain, as it happens, these shapes embed these universal principles. These laws of creation are embedded in these shapes. And so these shapes have these amazing abilities to combine and arrange themselves into these exquisite patterns. Hundreds of stars, thousands of stars, millions of stars arranging, organizing, aligning themselves in perfect concordance around the center and presenting these visual symphonies of harmonic order through these diverse elements in the form of triangles and pentagons and pentagrams and rhomboids and so many other shapes coming together, all these different shapes coming together in this perfect alignment to create these patterns that we call mandalas that are representations of states of universal order. And they are instruments that we can use to attune our consciousness to the harmony of universal order, because that's what they're representing, is aspects of universal order.
You know, Jonathan, a million questions are coming to my mind, but I'm just thinking, wow, you're so smart. You seem to me like... You started out in a farm community in New Zealand. I can't imagine, this is before internet and all of that, I can't imagine that, you know, somebody was telling you this or you learned this in school. I mean, where does this come from for you?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, I grew up in the New Zealand country, and it was a very unusual upbringing. It was in a dysfunctional family. You may have got that idea from what I told you earlier.
Right.
And I was an undiagnosed dyslexic and went through my entire school period undiagnosed. And the teachers just, you know, considered I was troublesome and simple and stuck me at the back of the class. And, you know, I couldn't read properly and I couldn't do just about anything, you know, within the curriculum. But because of the situation there, because, you know, we were country, rural school, the school grounds bordered the valleys and the mountains, and, you know, the wilderness. So all I had to do was make it across to a hedge, and then I was home free. I'd go, you know, down through the valley and into the mountains, and I'd spend much of my days, and in some cases more time, in the outdoors than in the classroom. Sometimes I'd just show up for roll call in the morning and then take the rest of the day off.
Mm.
Because at a very young age, you know, the classroom and the school system was totally alien to me and in fact quite horrific. Whereas nature, you know, I was at home in nature, and nature was my classroom. And the wisdom, I decided very early on, you know, from 12 years on or sooner, that the wisdom of nature was the best example of how to live. Far better than the examples that I'd seen in the classroom and society. And so, you know, I looked for all my answers in nature, and they were there in abundance, you know, in the form of geometry. Because geometry is a visual expression of this inherent, all-pervading, very profound and sublimely beautiful order, universal order, that pervades every level of existence. And geometry is the only medium through which we can experience this supreme beauty. And, you know, I found all of this without the schools, and because I can't read, it was mostly self-taught and self-exploration and trial and error.
Wait, and I'm sorry, did enough, you say, Jonathan, I'm sorry, did you say you can't read or you couldn't read?
I could hardly read. Like, the letters would become just juxtaposed, and they would, you know, fall and go from left. My eye would go from right to left instead of left to right. It was just quite challenging to follow the content in the book. But just what I was going to say is, oddly enough, involving myself in geometry, focusing on geometry, working with geometry, has helped my dyslexia enormously. And this is one of my studies, is how geometry can help dyslexia. Because in my earlier years, I was barely functional, you know, bordering dysfunctional. And now, after all my years, you know, involved in geometry, it's so much better. I'm still dyslexic, but I can function and I can read, you know, most things. The left brain, you know, technological stuff is a bit tough to do at times. But, yeah, geometry is good for that. I just wanted to throw that out there, you know.
That's interesting.
Anyone who may suffer dyslexia or, sorry, I shouldn't say suffer dyslexia, I mean experience dyslexia, or know of someone who experiences dyslexia, geometry, specifically sacred geometry, is a very valuable tool for helping to bring what is out of balance back into balance.
Wow. Interesting. There's a practical application for something that that just seems as quote-unquote impractical as quote-unquote art. Let's go. You grew up and you started traveling the world somehow and noticing some of the same?
So at a very early age, I think like around 20, and I just need to correct that quote-unquote, it was a misquote, you know, impractical
right.
role of geometry. It has a very practical role, which I'll come to.
Right, but yes, exactly. That's why I said quote-unquote.
Yeah. and I will disprove that quote to you.
Can't wait.
So I went traveling because I had this insatiable appetite to learn more about the world I lived in. I knew that it extended way beyond the confines of this tiny little town, Nelson, that I was living in and was raised in. And I think you mentioned, you know, my first job, in fact, was a shepherd, was herding sheep and, you know, whistling the dog and get him behind and, you know, get away dog and get in dog and all that stuff. That was my very first job. And it progressed and, you know, I got involved in marine radio communications and got qualified for ship-to-shore communications, and that qualified me for other things, so that when I went traveling, I was able to get employment on oil rigs and with the United Nations, and that opened up, you know, huge opportunities. But I went traveling, first of all, to visit ancient civilizations, the ruins of ancient civilizations, advanced civilizations. And it very soon became apparent to me that these civilizations, advanced, intelligent civilizations that existed thousands of years apart and thousands of miles apart, and for the most part didn't know of each other's existence, yet they all applied the same geometric ratios and proportions. Yeah. So the structures of their pyramids and their temples and, you know, these amazing monuments that are still standing thousands of years later.
Right.
And I figured that, you know, if these ancient builders placed, and which were, I should say, sacred geometric ratios and proportions. So I figured if these guys, if the builders of these amazing monuments placed so much importance in sacred geometry, it was worth investigating. And the rest is history, you know. I just got completely seduced by the magic that is sacred geometry. It's infinite. The possibilities are infinite. The beauty that is contained, the order, the depth that one gets to experience in sacred geometry, it's beyond words, which is why sacred geometry provides it in pictures, because these pictures tell us a story of this exquisite state of universal order that we can engage with to our advantage when we look at these geometric shapes and patterns that are concurrent to the harmonics of nature, then there's a number of things that are happening. First of all, what you're looking at, you're not actually seeing. You think you're seeing it, but what's happening, the mechanics of what's happening, is that the nerve and the ocular nerve is arranging a whole series of rods and cones to simulate the interplay of light and shadow that in color that you are viewing in your field of vision, and to transmit this information via electrical impulses or vibrations to the brain. And the brain is reformatting this information and recreating the scenario in your mind's eye so you think you're seeing what you're looking at. And most of the time, what we're looking at, you know, what you're looking at, what's in your field of view, can be either positive, negative, or neutral. The vast majority of it is neutral. Some of it, sadly, too much of it is negative. And some of it is positive, like beautiful sunsets and sunrises and flowers and pine cones and laughing babies and so many other, you know, expressions. Representations of nature can evoke so much joy and pleasure.
And Jonathan, then, I'm going to stop you, and you're going to have to explain this positive and negative thing to us right after the break. This is fascinating. I've never heard it explained like this, and I have a feeling what you're going to say is that through the sacred geometry and what you're creating, that something is actually happening other than just the fact that we are seeing what looks like a beautiful picture, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say on that. Jonathan, obviously, you also had a different way of looking at the world in the classroom wasn't adept for you. So how interesting, and glad you went out into nature to find these gifts of yours, and glad you're sharing them with us. So when we come back, we're going to talk more to Jonathan Quinton, and we're going to find out more about his artwork. And in the meantime, if you want, you can always find him at sacredgeometry.com.au, as in Australia. That's sacredgeometry.com.au. We'll be right back with our guest, Jonathan Quinton.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Well, we're back, and our guest is Jonathan Quinton, who's a multimedia artist from New Zealand. Artist is a great word, and yet I also want to say scientist, and I want to say philosopher. There's so much here to your work, Jonathan. And before
actually,
the break...
I describe myself as cosmologist.
A cosmologist?
One who studies universal order, yeah.
Oh, well, we need to see that in your bio here then. I like that word. You know, before the break, you were talking about positive and negative images and neutral images, and I've never heard of images described like that. What are you saying? What are we looking at?
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll just very quickly, briefly finish off the point I started making about what you look at, you know, and how it impacts you. So when you're looking at these geometric harmonics, then you are recreating that energy field in your mind, in your consciousness. And there's this effect of sympathetic resonance between human consciousness, between individual consciousness and unity consciousness. Now back to the negative and positive. So because this is relevant, it's like sound. You know, the analogy we can use of sound is we are surrounded by sound virtually, you know, 24 hours, except out in, you know, in the country. If there's no barking dogs or howling coyotes, it's silent. But otherwise, there is sound. And most of it is neutral. Some of it is negative, like very abrasive music or screaming or crying, or you know, or scratching of fingernails across the blackboard, that kind of stuff.
Or people fighting, right?
Yeah, people fighting. Then there's positive sounds like music, like especially specifically classical music that is resonant to the harmonics of universal order. Now, the other side of this is visually. Visually, we're surrounded by images, the vast majority of which is neutral because we don't really establish a relationship with it. But there are also positive images, beautiful sunsets, laughing babies, etc. There are also negative images like fighting, crying babies, violence. You know, natural disasters, great loss and death and grief and all of this sort of thing, negative. But it's more than that. It's because a lot of the images that come to us through the screen is negative. There's so much violence on the screen, on the small screen and the big screen, that we are bombarded with this negative energy. Sacred geometry, on the other hand, is an antidote for all of this negativity, because it neutralizes that, the impact that it has had on our psyche, all of that negativity. It transmutes it into light, because sacred geometry is alchemical. It can change the dark of negativity into the light of illumination, just through reformation. And so that's one reason that it's worth engaging your attention and your consciousness to sacred geometry. There are many other reasons, and one of them being that it helps you to move into natural time, because we are not living in natural time. We are living our lives by mechanical clocks when time is organic, and by a synthetic calendar that needs to be readjusted, you know, every few years to bring it back into alignment with the natural cycle.
Interesting.
And it was something that was introduced, I think, 1582 or somewhere around there. I might be thinking of something else, but somewhere around there, by Pope Pius IX, I think it was, introduced it so that it could measure events. Organizations' events is what it was created for.
Wow.
And so we're living our lives by these synthetic mechanical apparatus, and modern technology has isolated us from the subtle rhythms and cycles of nature. And, you know, and so we've fallen out of step with the natural rhythm, with universal harmony. But sacred geometry can bring us back in step, because sacred geometry contains the harmonics, the rhythm, the natural patterns that we would ordinarily, embrace, we would assimilate in nature. But because we don't get our fix of nature, most of us, I'm talking about, particularly, you know, living in modern society and cities, so sacred geometry is like, I think of it as cosmic vitamin. It gives you the nutrients that you're lacking from a natural diet. You know, you're not growing your own food and getting all the whole spectrum of vitamins and minerals in that, you know, then you can take supplements. Well, you know, that's what sacred geometry does. That's what the imagery, the shapes, the patterns, the form, they are all representative of these octaves, of these harmonics, of this hierarchy of universal order expressed through the geometry.
So, Jonathan, if we were to get one of your pieces, does it matter which one? Do we get the one that we like most, whether it's the colors or the shape, or do we get the one that we don't like the most because that's maybe what we need more of, kind of like medicine, sometimes it tastes bad?
What do we do? Definitely you go for the one you like the most. You let your subconscious draw you to the one that has the most appeal. And just to give the information, it's on my website, sacredgeometry.com.au, under gallery. You know, there's a selection there. I think 24 at the moment. I'm going to add some more to it very shortly. In fact, I'm going to add a whole new series to it, because now I'm bringing color light into it. So that's another story. And then, then there's the store. And if you go to the store, all of the images that were in the gallery are available as print. And if you go to the DVDs, then those images you can experience in motion and animation, where they are morphing, they're transforming from one pattern to another pattern in synchronization to music. And it just takes it to a whole other level. There's a three-dimensionality about it, and it's for open-eyed meditation. It's a way of engaging and aligning and assimilating into these geometries into you.
Wow. This is fascinating. I've never heard it explained like this, actually, because I've never spoken to a cosmologist about it. And so this is, you're making sacred geometry come to life for me. I know that you and Nassim Haramein are friends, and that he is coming into town for, the two of you are going to give talks. What is it that you're all going to talk about, where and when?
Yes, well, actually, directly after this interview, I'm driving to LAX airport to pick him up. He's arriving from Germany.
From Germany, right.
And his wife is, his partner, I should say, is, and their children are arriving from Hawaii just a few minutes later. And so we're going to have a great reunion because we've been away for a while. And that's... we are going to be co-presenting. Our first talk is in Encinitas at the California Institute of Human Resources. And this information is on my website under Seminars and Workshops. As you know, where and the date and the time and all of that. We are going to be talking about the new paradigm. You know, we are in this amazing transition. And, you know, what do we do? And Nassim, he's so brilliant. He has all of these ideas and all of these concepts, you know, any one of which, you know, would improve drastically the situation, you know, the for many people around the world. And and my work is a beautiful complementation to his work, and we've co-presented on a number of occasions. In fact, last year we did an Australian speaking tour, and he's dyslexic too, and so we had the greatest fun navigating our way around. You know, even when we have a navigator, we get terribly lost.
And even wait, now, you're picking him up at the airport, right?
I'm picking him up at the airport if I can find the airport.
Well, actually, I hope you find it, because thanks to you, Nassim is our guest next week, and can't wait to talk to him about the holofractographic universe as he sees it. And I love how he's able to explain physics in a way that most or more people can understand than normal physics, like you're doing with sacred geometry, and like I know you will be doing during your talks, and I hope to come hear one of them. But, you know, you brought up something very important, and we only have a couple more minutes here, but I know that we talked a little bit about how your artwork helps with dyslexia, but also you said that it can help with the shift and what's happening come October and this year and December of next.
That's right. There's two major events. One is October 28th this year, which is, you know, one of the beliefs of the ending of the Mayan calendar. And then there's the winter solstice, December 21st next year, which both mark, regardless, they both mark major keynote turning points. And we're in the process. We're in the birthing process. The old world is dying and a new world is being born. There's never, ever been a time like there is now. There are more people on the planet right now than everyone that's gone before us, because the word is out. Planet Earth is the place to be. Apparently something really significant, something really amazing is going to happen.
We got a front row seat, huh?
Yeah, we got a front row seat. That's it. It's so exciting. And sacred geometry, my message and the Sims message is these changes, all this turmoil, all this upheaval, it doesn't have to overwhelm you. Sacred geometry and awareness can help you move with the changes rather than be, you know, overtaken, overwhelmed by them. And that's the difference. Awareness is the key. And sacred geometry that was once privately guarded, you know, and was only available to the initiate in the mystery school. And this information was so secretly guarded that, you know, you could lose your life by speaking about it outside the boundaries of the mystery school. Huh. Now, it's freely available to anyone who seeks it, because this time is so critical, and it's consciousness that's going to make the difference. And it's up to us. We have this divine responsibility as individuals to give our consciousness as much juice as we can give it, to raise it as high as we can raise it, and light it as brilliant as we can light it, because it's our contribution, it's our currency, it's our contribution into the sum total, the mass consciousness. And that's what it's going to come down to, is the sum total of mass consciousness. And all we need is a mere critical mass, 144,000 people awakened, enlightened, that can form the spearhead, that can carry us over the threshold into the dawn of the golden age of enlightenment. And that's what's ahead of us, but it's up to us. Because it could also end in upheaval and, you know, from back to the Stone Ages. It's up to us. We, each one of us makes a difference. Each one of us has within us something that we can contribute to make the difference between the Golden Age of Enlightenment and total cataclysm. You know, it's, all the doomsayers out there, there's all these various, you know, prophecies and everything, you know, everything you can imagine has been prophesied. But the real answer is that no one knows. No one knows or will know until it happens. Regardless of what anyone says or thinks or believes, no one knows, because it's a story in the making. And we are part of authoring that story. We are characters. We have a role to play in that story. And what we say, what we think, what we do makes a difference. It's our personal, it's our divine responsibility.
Jonathan, how many people did you say critical mass is? How many people do we need?
144,000.
That's all.
And, you know, billions of people, 144,000 is a handful.
Well, you know what? Actually, I'm making a list. We've got Dorothy, our producer, and Mark, and myself, and I'm just adding your name. Can I do that?
Yes, actually, I should be in the front, shouldn't I?
Leading the way.
Just kidding. No. We'll put Jesus in the front. Just to keep everyone happy.
Oh, is he still here? Well, actually, this is great. This is very exciting. I feel much more confident that not only will we reach the 144,000, but that it's going to be made up of really prime people like yourself that have some beautiful things to share and are really shedding the light in more ways than one. Thank you so much for being such a great guest. We have about one more minute. Is there anything else you'd like to enlighten us with?
Oh, well, just that, you know, my greatest passion is in creating this work, is connecting with it on the higher realms. And then my next greatest passion is sharing it. And I love sharing it. So if anyone is curious or, you know, wanting more, go to my website. And we're giving a talk in Encinitas. We're also giving talks in Los Angeles and Joshua Tree. And all of that information will be on my website in the next few days.
Well, excellent. And those talks will be in the next few days here. And the website is sacredgeometry.com.au, where you can learn about the talks, and you can also learn about the artwork itself. So with that, I'm looking forward to getting hopefully to meet you next week when we interview Nassim, thanks to you. And this has been fantastic. Many, how do you say thank you? How do you say thank you in your country?
Ta.
Ka.
Ta, T-A, ta, ta,
oh,
mate.
Ta. Oh, okay, well, ta, ta, mate, to
and
you
we,
too.
And we say kia ora. Kia ora is both a greeting and a farewell.
Well, kia ora to you, and we'll see you hopefully next week. Thank you for being such a great guest.
Thank you, Philippa. Really enjoyed it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm glad. All right, Jonathan. This has been great. Well, we'll be right back after this with our producer wrap with Mark Lischer, who will be joining me right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, we're back, and this is what we call the Producer's Wrap segment, where we talk about our guests.
Well, I'm not sure if we should talk about our guests today or if we should be talking about expanding our format from 1 to 2 hours, because we don't have nearly enough time to address this subject.
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, he started to say Route 2, Route 3, and Route 5 or something, and that reminded me that there are like five geometric shapes that the whole universe is based off of, and it's like
Platonic solids, I believe, are the five base shapes. And you know, this whole topic is near and dear to my heart, the frequency, the relationship with the mathematics, geometry. This is the one thing that people don't really address. And there's enough knowledge where people say it, but they're not understanding the reality of it. And then the simplicity that underlies what's seemingly complex, which is that everything's energy, everything's vibration. Everything that you're looking at that appears real is a vibration,
right?
Is holding shape. The molecules are holding form. They're thought forms. That's why they're called thought forms. Sacred geometry is the underlying mathematics, the underlying shape holding thought forms. So thoughts are things, right? Thoughts create thought form, which manifests into the energetic structure, which manifests into the physical reality. So, you know, I was thinking about, which kind of makes it even...
The simple version?
That's the simple version.
Okay.
The simple version is, you know, when you take a half-empty bottle and you blow into the top and you make a noise?
Or a half-full bottle?
Or a half-full bottle.
Okay. As I like to look at it.
Good point.
And you make a noise like
there. Yes. Or something like that. Or you can make music with those, right? Well, it's what you have done is altered the space or the form or the shape within that bottle. So it's not necessarily the molecules moving around as it is the relationship to the space. And that's what he was talking about. Is how the spatial relations is represented in these shapes, and how those shapes then affect our being as we look at them. But it'll be interesting when we get into it next week, because Nassim does a great job of breaking it down, sacred geometry, into how these, you know, almost like you take two cells, you take one cell and it splits into two cells, and that two cells splits into four cells, and you get this core, which we know is in the center of every human being. Those first original cells, that seed that which become the seed of life, the flower of life, exist in all beings. Well, that is the same way in all structures. It actually, you know, it expands out from these small bubbles and just grows and grows and grows. And all of these sacred geometric shapes can be derived the exact same way, from the same circles, from the same bubbles, multiplying and relating.
Wow. I knew you were a smart guy, but I had no idea you knew about this stuff. And it's interesting that you say, you know, we all know. It's like, I don't know that we all know. As I'm here watching you, you're pointing to, you know, like this chakra, like from here. And I'm like, that's where, you know, life starts.
I guess our listeners couldn't see that, right?
No, not yet. Not until we're on TV, but, we don't all know this, and I think there's got to be a way to make this understandable so that we all do know, because it's almost like where babies come from. We're at the point where we're just children saying, "Hey, mom, where do babies come from?" And mom say, "You know, the stork or whatever, or my belly," and we go, "Okay," and then we go play ball or whatever we go do.
you know, that it doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't really change our lives. But as adults, we kind of need to know where babies come from, because that does affect our life. Because, you know why. Anyway, because you don't just want to, hey, look, there's a baby. It's mine. Great.
Stark.
Yeah.
Right. From the Stark.
It's the Stark's fault. It's the dork's fault who didn't know where babies came from. But so I kind of feel like, you know, I've grown up into an adult in a way, but yet I still don't know, in a sense, not where babies come from, but where we come from. And what Jonathan is saying is we need to know this, because that's going to affect as we transition into this other stuff.
You know, the lack of knowledge is really where a lot of this, you know, lives, right? The fact that we're not aware means we don't pursue. So we write things off. You know, you think about when you're in love or when you're in anger, and what music do you listen to? And there's a vibration there. And people, you know, it's very similar, where people will find their version of their aggressive music or their rock or their something that's in that low feeling, right, when you're angry.
When you're in love.
Or you're running around listening to whatever, Air Supply. I don't know, whatever, yeah, what people listen to when they're in love, right?
Air Supply's good.
And so, but you look at the disparity between those two, and you won't listen to Air Supply when you're angry. Most people.
Right.
But point being is you'll find something that's in that vibration. Well, if you look at it the same way, then for people that are in that same cycle of I'm not happy with my life, I'm you know, the same things keep happening, I'm repeating patterns, well, then they'll go and they'll put on a song that resonates, that feels like something they should be listening to at,
right,
that time.
Right, and they'll watch movies or TV shows that feed that.
And they'll stay in the same vibration.
Right.
Rather than taking the step to change their environment and change their vibration. And of course, the more nowadays we're starting to beat this, because what humans need is to be shown, right? We're still there where we have to be shown, and we've been taught that science will show you, and there needs to be studies and tests done and proof. Well, now that we're able to do that, quantum physics, yeah, and biofeedback and photonic light capturing technologies show you the differences, you know, the messages from water, Dr. Emoto.
Right.
And has proven, you know, meditation changes the structure of these crystals. Well, guess what? The structure of those crystals are sacred geometry.
Yeah. You know what? I wish that would have, well, I was about to say, I wish that would have come out during the show. It just did. And it came out by you, because that's exactly what I was thinking earlier in the show. Boy, I wish somebody would have said that in the show.
Well, there
and
you go.
I'm glad you did. Well, with that, that is our show. And everything else we're going to be talking about after this is going to be off the air, unfortunately, for all of you. But I have a feeling we're going to have to find a way to continue this conversation elsewhere. Hey, I know. Why don't we have everybody join us at lifechangesnetwork.com, where we can continue these conversations and more. In the meantime, this has been an absolute pleasure. And I am Filippo Voltaggio, and together with Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark Lejeur and Seth Hendricks, Dorothy and Mark being our producers and Seth being our engineer, we so appreciate you being part of the show and being the part of the change, positive change, that is, that we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Change the world, now's the time.